We've been thinking about the church and different ways we can capture the essence and the spirit of what it means to be church. And today we want to think about the story of the church. In many ways is a story of generosity. That certainly has been true of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the movement of which our church is a part. Take, for example, John Wilfinger. He was born in 1910 and he came to Christ at the age of 19. And in 1939, John went to Indonesia as an Alliance missionary. He worked among the Dayaks, the wild men of Borneo, as they were called. And John walked through the jungle, climbed mountains, went to remote villages. And on one occasion he wrote, "I have had the joy of seeing many precious souls receive Christ as their Lord and Saviour." As World War II advanced into Indonesia, John, as did all Western missionaries, became enemies to the invading army. Anyone caught hiding him, for example, would be arrested and executed. John wrote, "If I hide, naturally the saints will be forced to lie, to disobey orders if they hide me. In short, I would be forced to drag them into sin, whereas my intention upon leaving my country and my family was only to make mankind righteous and not to bring them into sin, even though I pay for it with my life." And to the Christian and Missionary Alliance headquarters, he wrote, he and a couple of other of the missionaries, "we have decided to go to the enemy, trusting God as to the ultimate results. Will you kindly send my love to both my family and sweetheart, Miss Mary McElroth?" And at Christmas time, 1942, John was executed. He had just turned 32. Today, the churches among the Dayaks are some of the largest in Indonesia. And they exist because of the generosity of people like John Wilfinger. To be generous is showing a readiness to give more of something that is strictly necessary or expected. We see this same spirit of generosity in the Philippian church. It gave more than was strictly necessary or expected. Yes, generosity is another crucial ingredient of what being church looks like. We see it, for example, in Epaphroditus, Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Epaphroditus was sent by the Philippian church to take care of Paul. It was him who brought the financial gift from the church to Paul. Now, we know nothing of Epaphroditus other than what we read here in Philippians. We don't know if he had a family. We don't know anything about how he earned his livelihood. All we know about him is that he generously gave his time to the kingdom of God. Churches exist because people give time. And that is true of us here at Southside. Yesterday morning, for example, 13 people sat for a three-hour Zoom meeting attending the United Elders meeting. People give time leading small groups, preparing for services like Peter and Danielle this morning, and Lisa, who is working behind the scenes. People give time visiting people, maintaining the accounts, and on and on and on it goes. If it was not for the time people gave generously, we would not be here today. Epaphroditus not only gave his time, but was willing to give his whole life. What did we read? He almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life. And did you notice the language of John Wilfinger? My intention upon leaving my country and my family was only to make mankind righteous and not bring them into sin, even though I pay for it with my life. Epaphroditus, John Wilfinger, they gave their time, they gave their lives. This is the same generosity you see in countless people throughout the Bible and across the history of the church. Here am I, Lord, use me, Isaiah said. I give you my life, whatever the cost. I will serve you. I will honor you. I am yours. Yes, for some people, that will mean changing jobs and working vocationally for the kingdom of God. For others, it will mean right where you are, right here, right now, serving Jesus, being on mission where you live and work. Jesus first, everything else second. Jesus, I give you my life. And we see also the Philippian church was generous with their wealth. Philippians chapter 4. Yes, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Again, we need to see this. A characteristic of what it means to be church is generosity when it comes to our money. The story of the church is a story of people giving generously. What has been going on here at Southside in this regard just blows me away. You are generous. What we just read in Philippians, I see happening here. People sharing in the matter of giving and receiving more than once. And it's not just towards the building, as phenomenal as that has been. No, it's not just in that instance. It's in the general offerings, the mission opportunities, and the quiet in the background here and there stuff that so often no one ever sees or knows about. And it's not that we are wealthy people. Yes, some are wealthier than others, but that is not the issue. It is people giving large and small amounts, giving generously, giving more than is strictly necessary or expected. Whether it is our time, our lives, or our wealth, let me suggest some guiding principles for what I want to call kingdom generosity that we see here emerging in Philippians. Firstly, kingdom generosity, it is personal. We just read, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. You sent me aid more than once. Your gifts, the gifts you sent, this was something the people in the Philippian church did, something that individuals did. It was personal. In Acts 4, we read of the account of how the church in Jerusalem were going through hardship, and so people joined together and people gave, people sold houses and gave the money generously. And in chapter 5, we come to a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who was experiencing this movement of God, this spirit of generosity that had gripped the church in Jerusalem. And between them, they devised a scheme whereby they wanted to give to the church the impression that they were more generous, than they gave more money than they actually did. And so they sold some land, and they said, yep, we sold it for this much, and here it all is. But of course, they only gave a small portion of it. And the Holy Spirit confronts them through the leaders of the church. And it's really interesting when Peter speaks to them. He's in the midst of all that he says. Listen to one thing he says. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? We see this same thinking reflected in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul is talking about giving. Speaking of a church, they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. Again, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is something we need to grasp in regard to this kingdom generosity. Giving in the New Testament churches was not taxation. Tax is a legal obligation. What Paul is writing about here was a personal gift. Whether it is our time, our lives, or our wealth, it is ours to give. Wasn't it yours before you sold it, Ananias and Sapphira? And wasn't it yours after you sold it to do with it whatever you wanted to do? What we do with our time, with our lives, with our wealth is an individual choice. It is mine to do with as I choose. I do it freely and willingly. I live with the consequences of that choice. Yes, there will be implications. It will mean, for example, I can't do what other people are doing with their time. But we all make choices. And the issue is, what will you do with your time? What will you do with your life? What will you do with your wealth? It is a personal choice. Secondly, a second guiding principle for kingdom generosity is, it is worship. Paul described the Philippians' gift as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, as something pleasing to God. This is the language of worship, of giving to God honor and praise. When you give to God your time, when you say to God, here is my life, when you place your money in the offering box or press the button to make a bank transfer, do you realize what you are doing? You are worshiping God. You are, as it were, bringing a sweet-smelling sacrifice. You are, as it were, singing a song at the top of your voice, a song as glorious as any angel's song. You are doing exactly what the sinful woman who came to the Pharisee's house did, carrying a perfume of jar, weeping at Jesus' feet, kissing him and pouring the perfume over him. How did Jesus describe her act? This woman whose sins were many, whose sins were forgiven. It was an act of great love. Motivated by love, she worshipped Jesus by giving more than was strictly necessary or expected. Yes, generosity is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. And it's also an act of faith. Paul writes to the Philippians, and in the context of their giving, says this: my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4. Whenever we give more than is strictly necessary or expected, it will cost us. It could mean going without something. And what if I don't have enough tomorrow because I have done this today? Yes, we need to understand that is all possible. But kingdom generosity is done in the knowledge that God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. It's an act of faith in God, our Heavenly Father, in the one whom we can trust. It's a declaration that all that I have is a gift from the hand of God and that I can trust God with my life. Yes, we need to be wise stewards. We need to apply wisdom when it comes to time and life and money. But at the end of the day, God is the one who has given me the time. God is the one who gives me life. God is the one who has given me money, my wealth. I trust in Him. He is my provider. He has promised. He has promised to meet my needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Have faith in God. Listen to how Paul expressed it in 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this. Amen. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Yes, we can trust God. Did you see it there as well? It's personal. It's what you have decided. It's an act of worship. It comes from our heart in response to who God is and all that God has done. And it's an act of faith. Faith is confidence in who God is, what God has said. Time, life, wealth. They are all finite resources. We all have different amounts. But here it is, friends. They are yours to do with as you please. The choice is yours. The opportunity we have is to give to God our lives and our wealth. Let me pray.